Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ who have life in Him through the waters of baptism. It was somewhere in the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension into heaven that He had His disciples go back up north into Galilee to a certain mountaintop He had picked out. Galilee, where Jesus had grown up in the home of Mary and Martha, where He spent the better part of the 3 years of His public ministry showing everyone that He is the Savior of the world. And it's in Galilee that we hear what is perhaps one of the most famous statements from the Bible. He gives the great commission. Jesus gathered His disciples in front of Him and He states on what basis He's giving this by saying that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. And then He gives the great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus has given this great commission not just to those 11 gathered there, but to all Christians of all times, to go out and spread the news of Jesus and what He has done to all people. And if you notice, as Jesus is giving that command to go and make disciples, the first thing He lists to do that is baptizing. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He puts it first because for just about many Christians in America and across the world, that baptism is the first time when a person becomes a Christian. We have the water and God's Word used together. There the Holy Spirit is creating faith in a heart that once wanted nothing to do with God. For where the water of baptism is, there is life and salvation. Where God calls that infant or adult, whatever age they get baptized, you are My child and you are going to be with Me and your sins are forgiven and you will live in heaven when you pass away from this world. But Christians always haven't known what baptism is, as Scripture teaches. This summer we're doing our Reformation worship series and looking at the times of Luther, and at his time in the 1500s, baptism was being overlooked. In the Catholic Church, there are six other sacraments, seven altogether, that the believers are to do, and baptism is just the first of seven to do. So while they teach that baptism is this great entrance into God's kingdom, once you get baptized, your attention gets focused on those six other sacraments to come to keep you good enough for God. It's with this environment that Luther shed some light on what Scripture says about the sacraments and about our salvation. In 1520, he wrote a theological treatise called On the Babylonian Captivity of the Church. And he makes a lot of different points in those pages. But the one that we're going to focus on this morning is the comfort we have when we were baptized. Because in our baptisms, it wasn't like that we did anything. God has done it all for us as He brought us our faith and our life and our salvation. That we are free from sin and that we can live to serve God as His children. But with the sacramental system of the 1500s, baptism being overlooked that it was, people were doubting if they were truly saved. If they were God's children, loved and redeemed by Him. They were held in a captivity of sorts. They had to go to the priests and meet their demands to receive the sacraments. And to hear their constant insistence that you must do good works if you want to gain salvation. So Luther, seeing what the Catholic Church was teaching to the people, he equates them with the Babylonian kingdom of the Old Testament. Because neither one was offering the assurance that God gives us in his word. Why is it that people deviate from what Scripture says about baptism? Not only in Luther's time, but in our day as well. Well, I can't read the hearts of all people. Imagine it may change from one to another. Imagine that you were seeing a baptism here this morning and you didn't have the eyes of faith knowing what Scripture teaches. What are some things that you see? Probably an infant who's dressed in something white, being held over the font by their mother or father. The pastor makes a sign of the cross. He dips his hand in the water, pours it on the infant's head, and says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He takes an embroidered cloth. He dries the infant's head, gives it to the parents, says some more words, and then the young family goes back to their seats and church service continues as usual. Just by looking at it, it doesn't seem like much is happening. And if you didn't know what Scripture already teaches about baptism, you wouldn't realize that God's family just increased by one precious soul. It's because of this lack of visible evidence that some Christian church bodies teach that baptism is really just something, it's like a symbol, representative of something. Whereas just as water makes you clean from all the dirt and grime that's on you, so we get baptized to symbolically wash ourselves of our sins. And then believing that baptism has no power, it becomes now something that we do for God in willful obedience to His commands. But as our Savior teaches us, baptism is not symbolism, mere symbolism. It's not what we do for God. It is much more powerful than that. As he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 that baptism is not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, there is symbolism to baptism, but that is not all there is to it. It is the royal entrance of a sinner into God's heavenly family where he calls him forgiven and loved and righteous. For where the water and the word come together, there the Holy Spirit is creating life and salvation in a heart that once was dead in its sins. And although it may not seem like much is happening, a miracle has taken place. Guaranteed by Jesus, with the power that he has shown us when he rose from the dead. And it goes back to Jesus. Do you remember what he said before he gave the Great Commission to go out and make disciples of all nations? He said to the disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when he gives the command to baptize, that he can back up what he is promising with it. All authority, not only as the Son of God who already has authority over all things, but as the Son of Man, he shows us just how powerful he is. By being the one that we all wish we could be. The perfect child who always listens to the mother and father. The perfect student who aces all their exams and tests because they know everything to begin with. The perfect neighbor who doesn't gossip about what goes on in the privacy of your home or steals something because you left it out overnight. The only one who's ever lived on this earth under God's law and kept each and every one of them all the time. Who endured every kind of persecution and turned the cheek to endure them all the more. It's Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who has all authority. He's the only one who could be our substitute for sin. So that his death on the cross may be accepted as payment for what we have done against God for our sins. So that when he rose from the dead, he shows that he has power over everything that there could be in this world. Death and Satan and his temptations, whenever else you name it. And it's in baptism that those blessings and powers are given to us. For we go from being enemies of God to being children of God. When that water and word are splashed on our forehead, in whatever way we were baptized, then the Holy Spirit is in our hearts with that faith, trusting in what God has done for us, even if we can't express it yet. Whether it be 8 days ago or 80 years ago, it's on the day of your baptism that God looked down on you and said that I love you. That your sins are forgiven, both past and present and future. That you are my child. And that you will live in heaven with me for all eternity. These are the blessings we have in baptism, given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they are guaranteed to us because he has the authority to back up what it is that he promises. It's baptism that is truly a wonderful, wonderful thing, whether we realize it or not. And for Luther, in that theological treatise that he wrote almost 500 some years ago now, he uses an illustration of a mighty ship that is in a raging ocean to describe just how wonderful baptism is. Before we're baptized, we are in the raging oceans. We're destined to die a violent death because we are sinners and enemies of God. Once the Holy Spirit comes, we are plucked up from those waters and placed on this mighty ship of salvation that no wind or waves can ever tear apart. And because in baptism, it's not what we do for God, but what he does for us. That he's the one who makes our baptism powerful, who keeps that mighty ship together, no matter what wind and wave may come across it. So it will steam on ahead towards salvation in heaven, no matter how difficult the ocean may become. But perhaps you're thinking to yourself, you know, Pastor, there's that one person I know that was baptized just like I was, but they don't believe today. Was their baptism a real baptism or just like a fake one that happened for them? It's a sad truth. There are countless people who have thrown away the faith that they received as a precious infant through the waters of baptism. Because we don't live in a world that is once saved, always saved. Using Luther's illustration that just because we're standing on the ship of salvation doesn't mean that we can't fall off it. We need to daily go back to our God in daily repentance to remain, keep our footing secure on that ship of salvation. To have his forgiveness given to us. Because day by day, we must struggle against our temptations. Just we have the Holy Spirit living inside, that doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin anymore. That sinful nature is still inside of us. It although has drowned, yet it will not go away. The Satan is there with his temptations, bringing us all sorts of different things. Telling us that we should jump ship. Go back in those waters that we came from. By doubting if our baptism really took, when we see others who just throw it away so carelessly. by getting us angry at God when we see the evil in this world or loved ones who don't treat us as we should. By telling us that life would be a lot better if we did what we want instead of following God's commands in the Bible. It's a constant struggle to stay on this ship that we are placed on through baptism. And for that reason, we need to go to our Lord in daily repentance to receive His forgiveness just as we received it when we were baptized with the water and the Word. As you face your sins and temptations that come across, rocking the boat on which you are standing on, go to your Savior for strength. Listen to His divine guidance in the Bible. Go to the cross and see what He has given for you to save you. To live the life that we cannot, to give us the prize that we do not deserve in any way. The complete forgiveness of all that we have done. Life in His name, knowing that life is to continue and salvation for our souls. All that comes to you through baptism. And to pray to the Holy Spirit to keep you strong in your baptismal water so you continue fighting off that old Adam, to keep your footing secure on that ship so you may steam all the way ahead toward salvation in heaven. Because baptism, it may not look like much is going on. A little bit of water to do some spot cleaning, some words spoken in church. But so much more. It's the day when you entered heaven, entered God's family. The day you were guaranteed to go to heaven when you pass away from this world. It's when the Lord looked down in heaven and looked on you with love and called you, you're His dear child. And that can never be taken away from you. This is the truth, the comfort that Luther pointed to in 1520. As he describes another one of his books, that no greater jewel, therefore, can adorn our body and soul than baptism. For through it we become completely holy and blessed, which no other kind of life and no work on earth can acquire. Amen.